You will know where to turn for this in the Corinthian letter. In the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, and the first verse, and the first word is now. In other words, Paul has reached a point in his letter when he's going to deal with these tremendous truths. Now, you might think, turning back, keeping your finger there, to the first chapter, that having spoken words like this in verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You would have thought he might have then flown straight out into the truth of the baptism of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But no. He's got a lot of things to put right first in the church before he started talking to them about the gifts. And he goes through and he deals with it and he says, now this, now that, now the other. Now is a key word in this epistle. It'll divide the epistle up for you nicely into its subject matter. And he doesn't, as you see, deal with this until it's the 12th chapter. But just a glance at this first chapter, I know there was a lot of things wrong in the Corinthian church, so much so that in some people's stupid thinking, the baptism and the Spirit and the manifestation of the gifts is always connected with sin. Silly people. But that's the idea that's got this. Ah, the Corinthians, they all spoke in tongues there, see? And they were in terrible sin, as though it's that that makes them sin. It's a silly notion, but it's according to the glasses you wear, how you see, generally. And the thing is, beloved, that that's not true. And that's why Paul dealt with the things that were wrong first. And you will know when you read the second chapter, the second epistle, that they were dealt with and they all repented. Mm. And the gifts were still there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See? But look, he says this. The testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, verse 6. What was this testimony of Christ? That you tarry until ye be endued with power from on high. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. The promise was confirmed in them, and then they came behind in no gift. Mm-hmm. All right. You one in whom the promise has been confirmed. What's the confirmation of a promise, the substance of the answer? That's right. Isn't it? Glory. This is the way. All right, now I'm not going to stay on all the sin and all the irregularities that had to be dealt with. Praise God, they were dealt with and put away. And then, well, how sweet it was to carry on in the first intentions of God. For, beloved, I have no doubt in my heart that such things are the first and original intentions in God, and the things that he intends to be in every church. All right. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, or spirituals, actually, the word gifts isn't there in the Greek, concerning spirituals. Now, will you know that all these gifts are spirituals and not carnals? And understand it. They're all spirituals. The Holy Ghost says they are. And woe be to the man who says that they're not, and especially one of them, which we won't mention now. They're all spiritual, and they're as spiritual as God himself, and they came from God. The manifestation can be out of the spirit, but that's another matter. In the intentions and impartations of God, every one of these nine things that are mentioned in this chapter are spiritual. They're as spiritual as the spirit. They're as holy as the new birth. That's the spiritual birth. And these are spirituals. And let's keep this well in mind. And he said, now, I wouldn't have you ignorant. All right, then. How many of us in the room know about the gifts of the Spirit? Or are we in ignorance? Contrary to the commandment of the apostle and the express reason why the letter was written. Woe to me. I found myself at one time in my life, through the specious teachings and doctrines under which I was brought up, quite ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit. They were crossed out for me by three words: not for today. And because the man that said that thing preached the gospel, and I believed him right when he was preaching the gospel, I believed he was right when he said that too. You see? That's the tragedy of it. You people that are responsible for speaking, or you're going to be, you be careful. I was sealed up in ignorance, out of the perfect will of God, by just those three words: not for today. Terrible. I don't know where in the world they got this idea from. When I began to get free with my Bible and understand it, I found they didn't find it from the Bible, but they just agreed amongst themselves. Ah, the cheek of it. They'd agreed amongst themselves. To say so, it's wicked, you know. Still, there you are. I'm not judging them. I only know that it's wrong to tell lies in the name of truth. So, they didn't intend to, but they had as much ability to know truth as I have. Same Holy Ghost, he don't tell lies. It's a direct lie. And when people say that, and they're not for today, I say, you're wrong, look, they're all in the chap you're looking at. You're wrong. That's the word made flesh again, you see. That's right. I like it. Yeah, you're wrong, you know. Amen. All right. The fact of the matter is, I was at one time asked by an editor of a magazine. I can tell you what he said. He said, I hear you've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit lately in your church. I said, yes, I have. I said, how did you know? Ah, well, he said, you know. I said, well, all right. He said, would you write me a series of articles for my magazine? Oh, I said, I don't know about that. He said, oh, I wish you would, you know. I said, well, why, sure. I mean, I'm not even Pentecostal. Well, he said, to tell you the truth, brother, he said, I go all around the country and I go in all kinds of denominations. He said, I find that people haven't even got the foggiest clue about them, leave alone how to set it down on paper. He said, oh, that's what he said. Isn't it terrible? God says you're not to be ignorant of it. Now, I'm not saying it's the most important thing. I'm telling you it's not the most important thing. Paul dealt with the more important things first. But because it isn't the most important thing, we mustn't say it isn't important or else doesn't exist or has gone out of God's will or something like that. Everything that God gives is important. Do you know the importance of the degree of correction in the of correctness between oxygen and nitrogen determines whether you live or not. It's only a minor detail. Smallest little degree. God is very, very concerned about little things called hairs on heads. He's got them all counted.
Yes.
How about that? He's got them all numbered. How about that? Yes, but it's mine, brother.
Yes.
You see, this is the truth. And once you see this, beloved, and realize that God has done these tremendous things, beloved, oh dear, how wonderful it is. Because you see, I've moved amongst people where they say, well now, we've got the fruit of the Spirit, you've got the gifts. We'll keep our fruit, you can keep your gifts. What a silly idea. What a mad thing. As though you can split Jesus Christ down the middle. Do you know that you would never have heard of Jesus Christ if he'd never performed a miracle? You would never have heard of him. Nobody heard of him until he was 30 and started out in his miraculous ministry. That's right. He was born pure and holy, lived a glorious life. But you would never have heard of him if he'd never performed miracles and moved in these things which we call now the gifts of the Spirit. You would never have heard of him. In fact, that's why the church hasn't heard of your, the world hasn't heard of your church. Maybe for the same reason. I don't know. But I do know this, that Paul says, you are not to be ignorant. And if you believe it's the Holy Ghost behind this, I would not. You must believe it's God saying, I would not have you ignorant. And the Holy Ghost is not concerned with giving us a Bible just to fill our heads up with knowledge about them either. Thank God we've been told about them. But when he means knowledge and ignorance, he means life knowledge or life ignorance.
Brother, would we be right in understanding the word ignorant to mean ill-informed? Or
well, it can bear that degree. It can bear that degree of meaning that lots of people are ill-informed about them. But when you remember that basically he's concerned with life, because as we shall see, it's connected with the body of Jesus Christ, and that's a living body, and he's really concerned with this glorious spiritual knowledge of, apprehension of, grasp of, hold of, use of these great gifts of God. Until you know them thus, you will only know about them. But when you know them thus, for instance, I want to speak to you somewhat, if I can get through by about five. I once spoke on this gift, this subject, one afternoon for 4 hours without a stop. Now you've got to go home or something like this. I want to speak to you from my own personal knowledge of the experience. After all, that's what the writer did. He never gave theory. This man Paul that wrote this, by the Spirit, moved in these things, and he could talk about them. Now, here then, having said that, I want to say something else, that these chapters about the gifts of the Spirit are set out thus, 12, 13, 14. In the middle is the chapter on love, that's at the heart of it. Now that's right at the heart of it. Even as in Christ, these gifts were ministered from a heart of love, which were the life and power of them. So, in the center, we have this glorious 13th chapter. Because apart from love, let us all agree, we'll have nothing to do with these gifts. If you won't have love, and if I won't have love, if I won't let God take hold of me and make me out of pure love, utter and perfect love, if I won't let him take hold of my heart and do this tremendous thing in me, I'm morally obligated before God to stop any of this business in the gifts of the Spirit. But let's understand this, because there are lots and lots of people who say, well, now I've got the greatest gift of all, which is love. Well, now, this is absolutely right, taken in its general aspect, that if we have any love, it is the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And it is a sure gift of God. You see? But it's not one of the gifts mentioned. You won't find that one of the gifts of the Spirit is love. You will find that love is the fruit of the Spirit. And so you will see that it's from the fruit of the Spirit the gifts of the Spirit ought to operate. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And in this connection, beloved, if you look with me in the end of the 12th chapter, we have this word that we are to covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet, I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, you're not, he doesn't say, but look, I want to show you the most excellent gift. Now, will you understand this, and don't twist it in your mind. And don't let anybody, however well-meaning they may be, give it a twist. He is showing the way. What does he mean by the way? Well, Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the way. And we've got to take Jesus for our pattern all the way through. If you want to know how the gifts should operate, you must look at Jesus. They must operate the Jesus way. That's right, not necessarily the big campaign crusade way. They must operate the Jesus way. And the more excellent way, beloved, is the way of love. And what does he mean by this? Well, if you really want these gifts of the Spirit, I'll tell you how to get them, because this is how I got them. Yeah, this is right. Now look, let me give you a little bit of testimony. There was a time in my life when I groaned under sin. I groaned. And some of you have heard me say this before, suffer the repetition. One night I was bidding my young lady, who's now my wife, good night. I'd been preaching that night. Oh, I've always been able to speak. I reckon I could have done well selling insurance policies. I've always been able to speak. Don't you think that's your qualification for ministry? Now you understand. Amen. It can be the biggest bondage and sin in your life. Yeah. And could be another one of your winding sheets. Mm. And understand it. Young fellows think because they've got an ability to speak, that qualifies them for the ministry. And I was weeping to my wife, because now my wife, on a Sunday night, young men don't weep to their, they want their young ladies to think they're big and brave and bold and strong. She said, what's the matter? I said, I'm a contradiction of what I preach. See? Of course, I know it's the Spirit of God is working on me. But anyway, I never stopped God bearing me witness, well, the fact I'm here now, until I heard somebody speaking about God giving you the Holy Ghost to make your home and sanctify you unto himself. I hadn't heard anything of this in the place where my background was, I won't tell you, but there it was. And I hadn't heard anything about this.
But you know, when I heard that, something rang inside me. And I remember the time when I got before God and I took the Holy Ghost. And I never took the Holy Ghost for power, and I never sought God for the Holy Ghost for gifts. Perhaps I should have done it. See, I was ignorant. Didn't know. All I knew there was that the Holy Ghost could come and sanctify me wholly unto God. I know that's a much shot at idea. But, brothers, sisters, it was life to me. And God did it. God did it. Amen. And, again, he did this in me. Talk about my longing heart was all on fire to be dissolved with love. And I went on in this way with God. And you know, I could love. A critical spirit went out of me. If anybody's been bothered with a critical spirit, I had it. I used to nearly break my wife's heart. She'd nip something for me, you know, like loving wives do. She'd nip me a pullover and she'd bring it out saying, "Here you are, love." And I'd say, "Oh, there's a mistake there." Listen, I thought that was being honest. I really saw it. But you fancy, I saw one mistake when I could have praised her for the million of wonderful things she'd done in knitting a jumper, you see. But that was me. I thought that was being dead honest. I had to say what I saw. So I began to see that with the glass, that it was the sight inside. A man sees from inside. That's right. I had a wrong inside. But anyway, God did wonderful things for me. And I went on and on and on and on, and I just loved him. And one time, I can't tell you about it now, I went out to do some service for the Lord, and I came back with the gifts of the Spirit operating. I didn't ask it. But I've got on the excellent way. I know that now. I've got on the more excellent way. He said, "Covet earnestly the best gifts." That's wonderful, but there's a more excellent way than that. Just become the world's best lover, and God will give you everything. Not that you're to make that an excuse secretly inside for not wanting the gifts of the Spirit. That's humbug. And don't be a liar. You'll never get away with it with God. See, I moved in ignorance. But blessed be the name of the Lord. The Holy Ghost in me knew what he wanted. And I might be out of time to tell you about it before we're through. But you see, beloved, this wonderful love, this what we call agape. We like to be very distinct in what we're saying and precise, all right. This great love, which is the love of God, is the most excellent way. I want to tell you before we go a step further that though you speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and remember, this isn't fancy, when you speak in other tongues, you can speak in angels' tongues. Understand that? You can speak with the tongues of men or of angels. Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! See, that's where the company stands and worships round the throne. He said, and if you haven't got love, you're just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. They think so in heaven and they think so on earth, and it's horrible. Now, I've got no objection to people getting the glory and buying a tambourine and banging it, but I wish they'd go miles away from me, because I hate the sound of tinkling cymbals. Personally, I prefer lovely violins. But there it is. I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you my preferences. These are just my preferences. Give me sweet strings. I don't want somebody bashing old iron and brass around my ears. I don't want that. Still, if you enjoy it, go ahead. I know somebody, when they got baptized in the Spirit, they went out and bought a pair of dancing shoes and a tambourine. I thought it was a bit queer, but still, there it is. He said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and if I haven't got love, I am just like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. See? That's what I sound like. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, though I never did hear of Paul removing any, did you? No, that's right. So that I could remove mountains. He said, now this next phrase that astounded me when the first time it dawned on my heart, I am nothing. I just don't exist. And that began to give me a line on what this true new birth was. I just don't exist if I haven't got this agape. I began to see things straight. I'm not sort of alive but failed. I'm just not alive. You say, can things that aren't alive speak with tongues and prophesy? And yeah, that's the tragedy of it. That just is the tragedy of it. He says that in the 14th chapter. Things without life giving sound. He says, so you read your Bible. Well, how can things without life give sound? Oh, somebody else plucks them or blows through them. The devil, probably. Or the human spirit. Makes a big noise, jangle, sound. It looks like the rest. But in heaven, makes God cringe. Me too. So we could go on. And now let's come right off that realm, shall we? And let's remind ourselves, lest we get unbalanced about this. He says, and though I give all my goods to feed the poor, and though I actually give my body to be burned, I become a martyr. If I haven't got this love, it's no profit to me at all. Oh, you say, but martyrdom. Giving your gift to people, now this is the expression of love, all you people would like to get together and speak in tongues. Is that right? No, you're unbalanced. It's wrong. Unbalanced. But there is a right way. There is a glorious position for us to hold. Now let's go back, shall we, into this chapter of 12. I see something about these gifts of the Spirit. You know, verse 2, I'm getting warm. Do you mind if I take my jacket off? It must be through, but still, never mind. I shall boil if I don't do something. Verse 2, you know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Well now, this is a wonderful truth, isn't it? I like this thought, that against dumb idols, God is a speaking God. A man once wrote a book and he called it The Silence of God. See? That God left off speaking once the Bible was inspired. There never was a bigger untruth than that. That's not true. God's not dumb. Hallelujah. Our God's a speaking God. But listen, you or anyone else in this world will never get into this realm of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you this, and this is probably what will beat you. If you're not prepared for this, you might as well give up straight away. You've got to be carried away into this realm. That's right. You have to be carried away. Hallelujah. Carried away.
You ever been carried away to God? You ever been carried away? Where you really let God take over? Utterly. Some of you nearly got there at times, haven't you? But you've kept one foot on the ground. That's right. But here's the truth. If you're going to be in this tremendous realm, beloved, you've got to know what it is to sovereignly commit your will unto God. You've got to know what it is to hand over your entire being unto God. You've got to know nothing and be nothing and want nothing but God. That's why I chose that hymn. My goal is God Himself. And here's the tremendous realm. To be carried away, I didn't say in emotionalism. Emotionalism is dangerous. Emotion is right. It's always the isms that are wrong. Emotionalism is emotion for the sake of it. And it's very bad and destructive. But to be emotional is to be like Jesus, who wept over Jerusalem. What a silly, emotional man. Fancy weeping over a city. Do you see? Or someone who went where he was loved, you know, to the Bethany household. You see, emotion is right. But, beloved, you've got to know what it is to be carried away. You'll never touch this realm if you won't let God do this with you. It is so entirely of the Spirit, you cannot get in by reckoning, you can't get in by merely believing, which leads into believism, so that you're left only with your beliefs. You see, most people are believing in their beliefs. That's what they say. Oh, I believe that, and they're believing in the fact that they believe that. But when you get tackling them, they've got nothing except their beliefs. It is right. But there's got to be a consequence, a carrying away. And now notice something else too. That we are beginning to touch the great realm of the Spirit. Here we go, the next verse. I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed or anathematizes him. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know what versions of the Bible you've got, but I will tell you what the Greek here is. No man can say Jesus Lord. You can say like a parrot, Jesus is the Lord. But you can't say, looking at Jesus, Jesus Lord. But by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now all these gifts are set up under the Lordship of Jesus. Before he starts the talking, but they're under the Lordship of Christ. And I want to tell you, beloved, that this is the only way that the Spirit of God knows. Jesus is Lord. Is he? Can you quietly now, in the depths of your spirit, upturn your eyes unto Jesus. Jesus. Now, I'm not leading you astray. These are the very words that the Holy Ghost has said. It's the Holy Ghost says, and this is how you say it. You can only say it by the Holy Ghost. He will make you say these exact words. In other words, like he makes you say, Abba, Father. There are some words that he never varies in. No shibboleths here, but there are some things he never varies in. Hallelujah. Jesus. Lord. I've been in meetings, beloved, when the Spirit of God has come down and hovered over the meeting. And I've seen strong men sit with tears running down their faces, carried away by the Spirit, just saying, Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship. That is worship. Can you worship after all, or do you have to say, to hear someone say, let us worship God by singing hymn number so and so? How far we've drifted from the truth. It's a pious idea that's put over now, because we've lost the truth. The substance is spiritual worship. Glory to Jesus. Glory. Let's do some class work. Come on. Let's worship the Lord now. We'll say it together. You'll soon find whether He is your Lord. Keep with me. Let your hearts go now. Can't go wrong. These are the words of the Holy Ghost to you.
Ready first.
Jesus. Lord.